Counter-Strike 2 announced, Diablo 4 beta, future game show spring showcase, the games we played, and our games of the week. This is Very Average Gaming. Welcome, everybody, to Very Average Gaming. I'm Will Williams, and with me every week to talk games with you is Joe Cotter. How you doing,
man? What's going on, everybody? I'm doing pretty good. How was your week this week?
It was all right. You know, tiresome kids.
Yeah. We got kids afraid of cars and all this other stuff.
Don't get me started.
I'm getting you started.
I don't know who it was. I don't even think they live on our street, but this car came coming down with like their blasted out muffler at like 10 o'clock at night, maybe 9:30, and it was so loud. I'm like, I'm sitting down there, I'm getting ready to play Come On Here with You or like play games or something, and I'm like, all of a sudden I hear people coming down the stairs, and I'm like, oh geez, and it was my daughter, and she's like. Like freaking out over this loud sound, and I ended up, you know, having to lay in bed with her for like another hour before she fell back to sleep.
Would you say it's that you heard the footsteps coming?
I heard the footsteps coming down the stairs, and then I'm like, okay, and then I hear the basement door open, and I'm like, oh, here we go, and I'm like, which one is it? And it ended up being, you know, Emerson. So
was it the one you were expecting?
Yeah, she any loud noise at night, she freaks out. Fireworks. Anything. She just freaks out. So
yeah.
It was I heard the noise and I'm like, fingers crossed, and then I heard the footsteps and I'm like, oh nope, here we go. It's gonna be one of those nights.
Well, she survived.
But other than that, it was a good week. I got a lot of actual gaming in. So it was, you know, for a change. Usually I don't get that much.
I played a bunch of stuff this week. We played some golf with friends.
Yeah.
We posted our Will's epic comeback on the last hole.
That was just pure luck.
It was like completely screwed.
Just pure luck. But, you know, it was fun. You know, hopefully we could do a couple more videos of different games like that moving forward.
Oh, definitely. Definitely gotta get some more gameplay stuff out there. So what's on the docket for today?
So on the docket for today was the releasing of Counter-Strike 2. This seems to be a very big topic this week. It seems to be, I don't know, I've never played Counter-Strike, so I'm really not a Counter-Strike fan, but it seems like a lot of people are into this game.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Counter-Strike?
I have. It's hard.
It's hard? Okay.
Yeah.
I assume it's an FPS.
It's an FPS, but it's mouse and keyboard.
Only mouse and keyboard. Yes, I would never touch this thing. Never. In a million years.
It's very tough. You have like a buying system, and you kind of have to know what weapons to buy when during the rounds.
Oh, okay.
And like stuff like that.
So like so at the end of every round, you use the money to buy like upgrade.
It's literally like the rounds that they play it's like search and destroy from Call of Duty. Think of it that way.
Oh, okay.
But that's like it's pretty much almost that same game mode, but in their version of it. And, you know, each round you earn points. And as the game goes on, you can certain weapons or certain amounts of money and you can unlock them as you go.
Oh, OK. I see what you're saying. So like
money. First round. Yeah. So like the first round, everybody starts with like a pistol.
Oh, OK.
And then the more points it kills you get as you go, you can unlock like. After a couple rounds, you can unlock a sniper rifle, the AK-47, or whatever weapon that you.
That sounds like
use.
A really cool concept for a game that I would never play.
And like the attacking team uses one set of weapons, like the attacking team, like I forget exactly how it goes. It's been a while since I played, but like one team will use like the American weapons.
Oh, okay.
And then the other team will have, like, the AK-47 and stuff like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, like, but like, there's been good news with this, right? So, like, I think what you said, that they're planning to, now that number two is out, they're gonna like kind of like get rid of number one.
Yeah, is I heard that, they're shut. I heard they're shut down.
The servers.
Counter-Strike 1.
Okay, and then I know that it also, I believe, is set the record for the most concurrent, like, players on Steam, which I believe was set by, I don't know if it was Elden Ring or Cyberpunk set that a while ago. But now I think this took the pie home, and then on top of it was that I read this morning that they're working with Valve, and as soon as someone is caught or expected to be cheating, they're going to completely just stop the match and have everyone, I guess, re-lobbied or what. I don't know how they're going to do it, but like, if they find someone that's cheating, like, the match is going to completely just, it's just going to get stopped.
Yeah.
Which is,
and they'll probably put you back in the matchmaking.
Yeah, which is a cool concept. I think that's the way it should be done. If someone's caught cheating, why finish out the whole map and, you know. But it's not a game I play. I've never played the first one. The concept, I think if they brought that concept to, like, a console, I think that'd be pretty cool. With a controller, then I would probably give it a shot. But without a controller, you're not going to see me ever touch this game.
Yeah, mouse and keyboard's tough. If you get good with mouse and keyboard, you're pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not good with mouse and keyboard at all. I have trouble with playing, like, WoW with the mouse and keyboard. So, I mean, that's a simple game.
I just don't like the whole being able to vote people out of matches kind of thing. I find that to be super toxic.
It is, but, you know, but
because,
go ahead.
Because it, like, not everybody starts off amazing right away. Like, so, like, people, like, if you're doing bad, people will vote you out of the match because you're doing bad.
Yeah, but, like, on the other end of it is, how is the matchmaking, really? Is everyone beginners playing together, or is it?
Oh, they have skill ladders and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I've seen it in person. It gets really toxic. Like, people just to be freaking trolls, they'll boot you out.
Oh, of course, but it's anywhere. Like, you're gonna get that in any game you play. You know, so I don't know. So we'll go. You know, we'll go with that. But I don't know. I'm never gonna give another in. This is probably the most you're ever gonna hear talk about Counter-Strike 2, because you're never. I'm not gonna play it. I don't think you're gonna play it. Right? You're not playing this.
Yeah, I may dabble.
The dabble.
That's it. When what's the date it comes out? Is hey, or has it given a date yet
for Counter-Strike 2?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
It's not on the link.
I don't have that pulled up. Summer of 2023.
Okay, so I definitely won't be playing that. Especially with Diablo 4 getting ready to release, so.
Diablo 4. That's the other big one. That was the other big beta this week.
Yeah, this is the second week of the beta.
I had two guys at work that were trying to get into it, right? The open beta. I mean, we're going to just segue to this because we're going to talk about it. The one guy, it literally took him an hour and 15 minutes before he can get logged in. And the other one was like 56 minutes, I think he said.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is the beta servers.
Of course.
Everybody and their mother is trying to play it.
Of course, you know.
There's going to be wait times. It is what it is. It's not the full game, so the servers probably can only handle so many.
But I will report that the little bit that they got a chance to play, they really enjoyed. The only bad knocks, I think you were saying someone was knocking on the fact that the dungeons seem very repetitive, like they're the same over and over again. But then Blizzard came out and said that was done on purpose. And that through the ability that they're going to get to play, I think they said that there's over 100 different procedurally generated kind of dungeons. So, like, they're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, I guess, in the beta. So, like, it's hard to make a judgment call.
Yeah, well, that was one of the drawing points to Diablo 2, was whenever you do a run through Diablo 2, every time you load into the game, the maps are different, whether they're a different direction or stuff like that, or stuff's a certain way. Yeah, so, like, it kept the game fresh because you never knew what way you were going to have to go.
That is true. Diablo 3 was similar to that, too, in a sense. Yeah. You know, it was more linear. less, I can't think of the right word, but it was a little bit more linear, but the hidden dungeons and the stuff were different every time you played through Diablo 3. Like, the path was the same, but it was, the maps were very little, they were tweaked a little differently. So, but I'm looking forward. I didn't do the beta. I don't have the time to sit here and wait 2 hours just to load into a game. I'm going to use my 2 hours a little bit more wisely.
I would love to do the beta, but I don't need a repeat of the last time. So,
oh yeah, well, you don't want to get and it's the same company. So yeah, you don't want to get banned for that.
Yep.
That's why I don't use cheating software like you.
Oh yeah, well yeah, the Razer Synapse software that I was using is what got me banned.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be using it. But yeah, but I'm looking forward to, I can't wait for Diablo 4. It's currently on my game lock with Gamefly. I'm going to get it on the console. I'm not going to get it on PC first because I'm playing with a controller. After playing Diablo 3 on a controller versus the computer keyboard, the controller is so much easier for me. So I'm going to go that route. And then if I really like it, I'm just going to buy it. You know, especially because it's got cross platform. So that's what makes it so good.
I played Diablo 3 on both, and I had no problem on either one.
Yeah, I love how they were able to implement the controller. Like, they did it seamlessly. They Diablo 3 is done. It's like done perfectly. Like, you don't even miss a beat.
You have an idea what character you're running through first?
Probably the barbarian. I'm a barbarian at heart.
Druid.
Druid? You're going to do Druid?
Druid. That's my first character.
Okay. So we'll see.
Monk was my character in Diablo 3.
Maybe we'll co-op some of that. I say that now, but that'll never happen.
No, because it requires you actually getting on and playing.
I get on and play. It's hard for us to...
Really? Really? When's the last time we played Tiny Tina's Wonderlands?
I don't know. The first time we played Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Yeah, and that was how long ago?
Oh, I have no idea. November?
Yeah.
December?
November. I think it's November, early December.
Well, speaking of games that are coming out, this is too long of a name. The Future Games Show Spring Showcase of 2023 announced everything that they're going, I guess, to be showing. And some of the games look actually really cool. So this is everything that's announced. It was basically by Turtle Beach Stealth Pro. It was broadcast live on March 23rd, and it was hosted by Cody Christian and Brianna White. And the Future Game Show delivered over an hour of updates, release dates, and reveals of selection of exciting and upcoming games. So I scrolled through some of the games. I didn't really watch the whole showcase because I didn't really know it was existing. Because it was like it was just an online streaming thing through Turtle Beach. Am I correct with that?
I honestly didn't know until after.
So pretty much, like, you know, we got the article here from Games Radar, and it kind of just goes on a brief little synopsis of what's coming on with these games. And I'm going to go through some of the games that I looked at and thought, you know, seemed interesting. And then maybe you'll do the same because we have very different tastes in games. So the first one, I thought Witchfire looks pretty good. It's an FPS, but I'm not really big on FPSs, but it looked decent.
Yeah, I think it's got that dark, gritty feel, almost like a Doom.
Yeah. The Sifu's Arenas expansion is coming out, and Sifu is an awesome game from last year, and I really enjoyed Sifu. And pretty much the expansion is allowing you, I guess, to do co-op. Like, you're an arena fighter, so you can fight against other people.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean, everyone's really hyped about this. What else did I see that I liked? Wrestle Story is a story-driven turn-based action RPG based on wrestling. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. It looked really cool. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, it looks really cool.
The Expanse looks pretty cool. It's supposed to be a Telltale series.
Yeah. Oh, The Expanse. Yes. Well, Telltale's really good at storytelling.
Exactly. That's why I think that could be a good game.
And as long as they stay true to their roots, their games are always good. Distant Bloom was another one I liked. Park Beyond, which is like a theme park building game, because I'm just really big on those.
That was the first, literally, I was scrolling through them and I saw that and I said, oh, Bill's going to love that.
Yeah. And then Pizza.
as soon as I saw it.
And then the last one is Pizza Possum, which is, it looks like you play as a possum and the whole point of the game is to stealth around and like steal food from people.
If anything, it gets an A for the name.
Yeah, definitely. So like those are definitely, that's probably what I'm looking forward to. Like, did any of these other games poke your interest or seem to poke your interest?
Yeah, I thought a few of them were interesting. Ravenbound sounds awesome.
That looked decent.
That almost seems like a Oblivion Skyrim kind of clone.
Yeah.
And then there was the Entropy Center, or I hope I'm saying that right. But it almost looks like it's like going to be sort of like a Halo clone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they also announced a lot of VR stuff, the VR showcase. I'm content with my mini golf on the VR. It's pretty much all I play. But I think that's pretty much it. I will post the link to this in the description section of the podcast. So this way, if anyone hasn't had a chance to see the list of games that they announced and went over, you can do that on Games Radar.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
There's a bunch more than we even went over. It's just too many. It's too many to cover, per se. And yeah. Since we didn't, I didn't watch it, so I can't give a critique on it. So it's just more of going over what we kind of briefly looked over and thought what seemed interesting.
Yeah, I basically saw the article and was like, hey, we should talk about this because there's a lot of stuff on here to kind of go over game wise. Yeah, I honestly didn't even know they were doing the showcase until after I saw it on Twitter. I saw a bunch of people posting about it. So I was like, I should take a look at this.
Well, it's one of those under-the-radar things, because with PAX coming out this coming week, you know, it's like that's all everyone's been talking about is, like, you know, setting up for PAX and, you know, everything else. So it's I can't wait to be talking about that, because that's going to be, you know,
awesome. We'll probably have a lot to talk about next episode about that.
Yeah, because there are going to be probably some big announcements on there. So with that, what games were you playing this week? I mean, you said you were playing a lot, so.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, me and you played golf with your friends. You know, we had fun with that. I played some more Minecraft. I've been working on that world that I've been telling you about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw you were fishing.
I was fishing. Oh, you got that video?
I did get that video. Video you fishing.
Hey, video is a good way to get good stuff early game.
Oh, okay.
So, plus, it's a good source of food early on.
Oh, I bet. You cook the fish, right? You cook them?
Yeah, you could cook the fish, but you can get, like, different kinds. You can fish up enchanted fishing poles. You can fish up enchanted bows.
Oh, wow.
And then take them over to a anvil, and then you can combine them to make them better or fix them up and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
You can also get enchanted books for your weapons and armor.
And all this is from fishing.
Yes, fishing, yeah. It's pretty cool.
So, like, you could spend, like, the whole day and just fish?
Yeah. We did, before, the way they used to have it back in the day before they patched it,
there was actually
a way where you could set your character up and you could auto-fish. And all you had to do, it was AFK. You could just and then it would collect all the items that you would.
So people would turn on the computer and just leave it, like, go to work and, like, fish for 8 hours.
They patched it. You can't do it anymore, though.
Oh,
But no. So it's pretty cool. That's how I was using it because I went into the Nether and got my butt whooped. So I was like, I'm gonna go fish so I can get better gear to go back into the Nether.
Oh, okay.
The Nether's really that's probably the hardest area in the game to actually go through.
Is that where the lava and stuff is?
Yes, that's the lava and all the red dungeons and stuff like that are.
And there's a final boss down there.
Not in the Nether.
Not in the Nether. Okay.
You can get the items in the Nether to make one of the bosses, but there's not a final boss in the Nether.
Is there a final boss in the game?
There's two.
Okay.
Well, there's the Ender Dragon, which is kind of like the end of the he's the story boss. He's like the end of, and then
there's a story to Minecraft?
Yeah, so a little bit of it, yeah.
Okay.
I'm
just intrigued because I learn something new every week.
And then there's the Wither.
Okay.
Which is the hidden mini boss, and you need to go into the Nether to collect Wither skeletons. And basically what you do is you get three of their heads and some soul sand, and you have to put the soul sand in a specific three across and then one down, and it put the three heads on the top, and it creates the Wither, and you can fight it, and you can get a specific item that he drops, and it allows you to make a beacon, which is probably one of the most powerful items in the game.
Ah. Have you ever had a beacon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I've
only beaten the Wither once. I've only beaten the Ender Dragon once.
So is it possible to, like, farm the Wither? Like, can you just, like...
Yeah, you can keep making them over and over and over.
Oh, until you get your beacon.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the dragon?
He drops, it's called a Nether Star. He drops it every time. He drops one every time you kill him.
Okay, and then the dragon, right? Have you beaten the dragon?
Yes.
Okay.
He drops a ton of experience.
Just that's it? That's all you get is experience from the dragon?
Yeah.
No cool armor?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
Now that's from mining and crafting.
Well, yeah. Well, he might have things you can, like, use to make it.
You can collect his... If he shoots his breath at you...
Okay.
You can collect the breath in a jar and use it for your brewing stand and make potions and stuff with it.
Hmm.
So there's that. That's and then you can get the dragon egg, and the only use for the dragon egg really is to just respawn. You can respawn the end dragon once.
Oh, okay. So you only can kill him twice then?
Yeah, in a given world you can only kill him from as far as I know twice.
Okay. All right, so what else did you play? That's very interesting. We learned a lot about Minecraft today.
Some more COD. I've been working on leveling up some of my weapons and stuff like that.
You still at the same rank?
As far as... Oh, I haven't been playing the rank play. No, there's cheaters in rank play, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially once you get up in rank higher.
Wow. You'd think they would have caught them already.
Yeah, no, they seem to be catching people like me who in ball spanning because their anti cheat sucks. But no, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I'm basically just the way this game works. It's not like the other Call of Duties where they give you a ton of attachments.
Okay,
but you have to level up specific guns to unlock specific attachments.
Hmm.
So, like, I can go in and give me 15 silencers, but if I don't have it unlocked for that weapon, I can't use it for the other weapon.
Let me give you an example, right? So, I like to, when I play Call of Duty, it's very rarely I'll get into one of the games. And I like to use, like, the light machine guns.
So okay.
Or the combat shotgun in World War II, because it was the cheapest overpowered gun. But if I were to just use that weapon, I wouldn't be able to unlock everything.
You would be able to lock most of the attachments for that gun.
Okay.
But then it gives you other attachments that you can add on to that weapon. Because like I was telling you before, they had that whole platform system.
Yeah.
Or like, it's the same gun, but it's like a different receiver. So it switches, like you can make one gun from, like we'll use the M4 platform. You could just based off of the receiver that you switch it out, you can make it an M16, an M4, SMG, an LMG, or a marksman rifle, just from that one platform.
Oh, okay.
But just by switching the receiver out. So if I take the receiver out and put the M16 receiver in, then it gives me a whole new set of. So like, say I level up the M4 all the way to max.
Yeah.
And I have all those attachments unlocked, but then it'll tell you, it'll be like you need to level the M16. To weapon level 13 to unlock this another attachment.
Oh, okay. So you're just saying.
That's what I'm talking about. So like you have to go through to use all the stuff for that one platform. You have to unlock all the versions of that platform.
I understand what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say if you just use the LMG version of it.
Yeah.
Then you could just unlock all the attachments for the LMG version of it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It'd still be perfectly fine.
Yeah, because I only use that gun anymore. Okay, I get what you're
saying. You won't have all of them available to you because you'd have to unlock the other versions of that platform.
Are you having fun with this Call of Duty?
Yes and no. It's fun, but it's frustrating.
I'm gonna wait for a sale. I'll wait for a sale then. Okay. That was my little tidbit.
I can honestly say I've never been shot in the back more in a Call of Duty than
really shot in the back
because of the spawn system.
They changed the spawns too fast.
No, they'll spawn behind you.
I'll never understand
because the way in the old Call of Duties you had one team would spawn this side.
Yeah,
you had another team spawn on the other side,
opposite side. Yeah, that's the way it should be.
And basically, what it is. If your team was pressuring the enemy team to a point, then they would open up secondary spawns, which would be kind of off to the side of the map.
Okay.
If you pressured them to the point where that wasn't feasible, then they would flip the spawns to where you were.
Yeah.
On the other side of the map. So, but the way it is now is it's more of like a squad spawning system because of Warzone. It's a lot of the reason why it ruins the actual normal Call of Duty, which Warzone unfortunately is, because they're the parity between the two games.
Yeah.
They're trying to make both of them the same game rather than develop two different games. So then you run into issues like this where like I've explained in other videos where that squad spawn works fine. In a gigantic map, you know, you spawn on like for the ground war or whatever, you load in and it puts you on, you can select an enemy teammate to spawn to.
Oh, okay.
Whereas this, the game will put you, oh, hey, we're just going to spawn you next to this teammate. And it's not uncommon for me to spawn in, run two steps and get shot because there's an enemy right in front of me.
Yeah. That's not right.
Yeah, whereas that never happened in other Call of Duties. Like, yeah, your spawn would be pressured, but once it got to a certain point, then you'd spawn on the other side of the map away from it.
Now, is that because like this version of Call of Duty is made by the same people who do Warzone? Or is this Activision pressuring
they have many studios.
Yeah.
Across the board that work on it. Raven Software is the ones that head Warzone.
Okay.
Infinity Ward did this Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
That's the studio with, you know, the support studio, Sledgehammer, Treyarch.
So then it's coming from the top saying that we want the Call of Duty game more like the Warzone game. Okay.
The developers can only do so much, but you know, if Activision goes, hey, I want this, then they're going to have to do
that.
Yeah,
they're going to have to do it. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. All right.
But I personally think not separating it is because it's like other people were saying is that they're just using the regular Call of Duty multiplayer now as a funnel for Warzone.
Yeah, well.
Which Warzone 2 is slowly dying because it's not as popular as the original one.
Oh, yeah, well, and it's never going to be as popular as Fortnite, so. All right, so, I mean, and so what else? I mean, so you played Minecraft, you played Call of Duty. Anything else out of the box? Any more Descenders? Any of these other games you've been trying weekly?
I played Golf with Friends.
Golf with Friends.
And my game of the week.
Okay. Yeah, Golf with Friends, we had three rounds of golf, and I think I won one, you won one, and we tied on one. I won two.
You won two and I won one.
You won one. So yeah, it was fun.
I should have won two.
You got caught into the locks.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Holes downstairs are loner and bears.
Unbelievable. Right. So okay. So my games this week, right? So I started up it restarted up Sackboy's Big Adventure. I'm going to try and beat the story on this. I was originally going to sit there and try to go for the platinum, and then I realized how much collectible crap there is in this game, and then I decided that I'm not going to go for the platinum. I was looking at the trophies to get, and I'm like, collect all this, collect all that, and I'm like, I can't run through these levels over and over and over again to collect this stuff. But the game is so much fun for a 3D platformer, and it the kids love it because you can change the costume that Sackboy wears. So, like, right now, my Sackboy has, like, a yodeling hat on and, like, ski poles. And there's a bazillion costumes. You could download a whole bunch of free ones on the PlayStation shop store. And so they have a lot of fun watching. And every once in a while, they'll try to play. And, you know, it's tough because it's 3D platformer. And it's not as easy as a Mario platformer, whereas Mario is kind of more geared toward let the kids kind of win. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. I got through the first stage. I'm working on the second out of five. So hopefully I'll be done with that story soon. I booted up my NES this week and played a round or two of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out just to get the old gears working. I'm going to try and start trying to stream or video record myself playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and some more retro stuff in the upcoming weeks, post the videos on our YouTube channel, and maybe stream it live a little bit, try to get some of these retro fans in there. I got pretty far. The first round, I lost a little earlier than I normally do. I found out that there was a little delay with the, I was trying to see if I could video capture it, so the video capture card was causing me a little of a delay. So then I went back and unhooked the video capture card, and I sailed all the way up to Super Macho Man, and just couldn't get the timing down on his tornado punch. But I will for when I record. I will. Obviously, we played golf with friends, which we mentioned. I played a little VR mini golf. I'm loving my VR mini golf. I find that I just walk around aimlessly in my basement with the VR mini golf. And now that I've given myself, I moved stuff around down here to give myself more space to play the VR. And I find that more space just has me wandering further because it's uncanny how it's cartoonish. So, you know, it's not real, but it's so uncanny how it truly makes you feel like you're there. And the way it gets me is, like I've mentioned this in the past, is every hole in the game has a hidden golf ball that you can then choose as your golf ball to play. Yeah. So I find myself like, I'll look around the entire hole looking for this stupid golf ball before I even hit the ball once. And that's where I get like stuck, because then I'm like looking over rocks. I could just see if like my wife or one of the kids came down the stairs and you're watching me like literally like doing this, like looking, oh, I'm looking under a rock. Let's, you know.
She would definitely be making fun of you.
Yeah. You know, and it really like it gets me.
Uh-huh.
So I had a lot of fun with that. I finished one of the newer courses, and I got 16 of the 18 golf balls. I got to go back and find the other two. And then I started this a new game, Warhammer Chaos Bane, and I started playing it on Steam, and it is like a pretty good Diablo clone, and it was fun. I mean, I ended up playing with it for like 2.5 hours, and I lost track of time. I don't know how far the story's going to go. It looks like you have to play it online, which I don't like, but I'm going to continue to play it. I played as the dwarf dual-wielding weapons, and I'm pretty kick-ass, must say. Takes a lot of damage, but it seems to be a fun game. I had this game on, I think it was on the 360, not the Xbox [S2] Okay. [S1] One, the Xbox One. And I just never got around to playing it. And then when I got rid of the Xbox One, I kind of just got rid of all my games for it.
Yes, I think I have a few.
Yeah. You know, so having it on Steam was great, because now with the PC and the controller, it runs so much better. And you can have the graphics at max on my PC, which is like crystal clear, and it's awesome. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I'll come back. I'll give you like a little bit more of a heads up on that one, because I think you would like that if it continues in the path it's continuing.
And what's nice about like the Warhammer universe. Like, there is so much lore.
Oh, of course.
With Warhammer. Like, there's tons of books out there. Like, it's insane how much, like, I used to have a kid I worked with. He used to read all the books and stuff.
Yeah, so. On a side note, because it has nothing to do with what I played this week, I broke down and, you know, after selling a couple of my, couple of the games, I sell games to buy games. That's usually what I do. I broke down and bought the Anniversary Edition Warcraft and then the Dragonflight Collector's Edition Warcraft to finish out my set, because I have a feeling that the whole set will be worth something in the future. When eventually the Warcraft servers decide to die out and you can't use them anymore, so I broke down and I ended up buying them. They were a pretty hefty penny.
I remember when that happened to EverQuest.
Yeah, but then it becomes collectible because it's no longer usable.
It's insane that RuneScape is still going.
Oh well, you know. Well, what it is if you have just enough people willing to play regularly, you know. It's like this guy in my route, right? And he's going to catch me staring at him playing Warcraft one day. He's got to be like 50 or 60 years old. He's retired. I deliver to a 55 and older community. And he's retired. He's there every day. And I go to deliver his mail, right? And I turn and he's got this big window and the computer is right there in the front window. And he's got his work computer or business computer, whatever you want to call it. And then to the right is his computer with Warcraft. And like 3 weeks ago, he was just staying there AFK. And I'm like, oh, this guy plays Warcraft. And he's like decked out in all his raid gear and stuff. And
He must know Clore.
Yeah, right? But the last 2 days, because we've had such bad weather here, I go to deliver his mail. I look at that in that window. He's sitting there on a computer. Yesterday, he's flying his mount somewhere. And then today, he was battling some kind of really big, large... I don't know if it was a boss or enemy. He was a large enemy, and there was like 12 of them like hacking and slashing this thing. So it was pretty cool. If I ever see him in person, I'm gonna say, "Hey, I played that too."
Yeah. He was probably in the middle of a raid.
Hey, he may have been in the middle of a raid. He definitely might have been. You know, but that's all I've played this week. Those four games, and obviously my game of the week, which we will talk about shortly. So speaking of game of the week, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to
go first?
I can go first. All right. So my game of the week this week was Unpacking, and pretty much Unpacking is a very relaxing and interesting concept to a puzzle game. Basically the game consists of you unpacking boxes and placing the items that you unpack in the living space provided. You know, so you open the box and they'll say that, you know, you pull out a book, you put the book somewhere, you know, in the space. You know, some of the spaces have multiple rooms. After I got to the second level, I didn't realize there are multiple rooms. So like, I was like, oh, well, like I'm in like this college dorm and I'm like, oh, I put the toaster on the desk, not realizing that the bumpers send you to the kitchen. Then I figured that out. That kind of like that after that 15-minute debacle, where am I going to put all this stuff? I figured it out. And the further you get into the game, obviously, like not only does the spaces get larger and there's also a lot more stuff that you have to unpack. there's a little, like kind of like a brief kind of mini story that goes along. So basically what the game is when you start a level, it'll write down a year, and it starts off basically like you start off in like your childhood bedroom. And you're unpacking books and stuffed animals and like, you know, like a boom box or something. And every level as you go, it's like you're progressing your life. So then it goes to the college dorm. And then after that, you go on like, you know, like your first apartment, your house, like and it's a progression of a story pretty much of you unpacking your life into all your new chapters of your life. It's pretty cool. The gameplay is extremely simple. It's like you just kind of hit the A button on the box and the box pulls out an item. You move it to where you want to place it. You push the A button. Done. You could pretty much place this stuff anywhere. Like you want, like if you wanted to just throw everything on the bed, you could theoretically do that. But the puzzle aspect of the game is there's a specific spot for things. You know, like books go on a bookshelf, clothes go in a closet, silverware goes in the kitchen drawer, stuffed animals go on a bed or on a desk or something. So you have to find a put the things in the right area in order to be able to advance the levels. The music is extremely calming and pleasant. I fell asleep at least 1.5 times playing this. And I say half because I woke up and then continued to play. The other time I just passed out. What?
Minecraft does that to me.
And it fit, and the soundtrack is very good for the tone of the game. Like it's perfect. They mesh very well together.
Oh, absolutely. Soundtrack can make or break a game.
Definitely. You know, the puzzle aspect isn't hard. The game is very easy to complete. I was able to complete it in the week I played, which I think this is the first game of the week I was actually able to finish. I would definitely recommend this game to anyone who likes casual gaming experiences. Like if you're into these like phone type games where it's like you just want to kind of like veg out for like an hour a day, this is the perfect game because you could pick up where you left off. There's no timing. There's no crazy frustrating battles. It's kind of just like at your own pace. It was very enjoyable. I enjoyed it all the way through the whole game. You know, I got a little frustrated at some point. Not frustrated, but like when you couldn't figure out where they wanted you to put an item, you kind of had, they'll let you know, they'll outline it in red that it's in the wrong spot, but then you had to kind of like, where the hell else could this go kind of thing. But it never was too hard to figure it out over time. And I have to say, if I had to rate this game for the genre that it's in, for like a puzzle type game, I would give it a solid 4. I could give a score because I actually finished the game.
Nice.
So that was pretty much
That's a very average review, folks.
Yeah, you know. And that's pretty much all for the game unpacking. I really think that anyone who enjoys very casual, not rushed puzzle games would really like this game. So I would highly recommend it. And so your game of the week was what, Atomic Heart? I can't wait to hear about this because I've been hearing good things, but good things.
Very, very good things. So my game of the week was, like Will said, Atomic Heart. With everything going absolute crap in an alternate reality Russian complex, you must find the ones behind it and stop the events from happening. So combat, you can attack with either melee or ranged attacks. I ended up starting... I have an axe right now, but you could upgrade the axe to do other things, which is pretty cool. You can also get like guns and pistols and shotguns and stuff like that. You can also sneak attack enemies. That's another cool feature where you can sneak up behind them and like say if you sneak attack a robot, you can come up behind it and button mash. Like it gives you like a little quick time thing, and if you button mash fast enough, you can disable the robot.
Oh, okay. So, like it's like in the Telltale games where they'll tell you to tap the A button like repeatedly or like rotate the joystick or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. For other things, you can dodge attacks. They give you like a dash where you can either dash forward, dash back. They also have a thing where the thing you're fighting will glow red if they're getting ready to do a heavy attack.
Hmm.
And the game will tell you, you know, when you see this glowing red, dodge it out of the way because the heavy attack will knock you down.
Is the dodging part of the game as clunky as Callisto Protocol?
Completely different. It's completely different.
Completely different.
Whereas,
okay.
Whereas that was like you dodge right, dodge left kind of deal.
Yeah. So,
this is like a quick shuffle forward, a quick shuffle backwards, like to completely get out of range of the attack.
Oh, okay.
It's literally like think of like a dash attack. You
dash away. You get away.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You can upgrade your weapons as you gain stuff. When you loot, you gain items and stuff like that. So you can have your weapons do other things. Like my axe, I've upgraded it now where I can do like a whirlwind attack. So he goes around in a circle. And it hits the first enemy and then comes back around again and you finish at the first enemy.
So
it's pretty cool. Then you have the glove. And this is probably the most important piece in the game. The glove is an all-purpose item that you start with in the beginning of the game. It can be used for many things. It can be looting, general information, combat, and more. It can also be upgraded. And it'll actually sit there. You'll have conversations with the AI from the glove. Like, it's pretty funny. It has telekinetic, electrical, fire. You can do all. You can upgrade it to do all kinds of things.
So it has like different, magic would be like not magic, but like spell type of thing. Like it says telekinesis, electrical, fire, spells, but
they're based off of like real, like so. Like the electrical is an EMP.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
You can use it to hurt robotic enemies. You can also, they have these little security cameras. You can shoot them with it to disable them.
Hmm.
You can use it on certain locks to unlock things and all kind of stuff like that. For the looting is probably one of the coolest things that I've seen for a game so far. What the glove does is you could either go up to, like, say you're in a room. You want to open the drawer and take whatever's in there. Well, with this, you could either pick up one drawer at a time, or you could use the glove, and it'll open all the drawers. And you have like the way your backpack works is it's like a special backpack that shrinks things down to like microscopic size. So you basically have like unlimited backpack. And what you could do is you could just take the glove and go through the room and telekinetically open all the drawers, and it sucks all the things into your backpack. Pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
That is actually pretty neat.
Yeah, the glove is linked to your neural cortex. So it's think along the lines of Jarvis from the Marvel movies and stuff, Tony Stark's but that's the glove. It's basically linked to you. Neurally, like it's bonded to your inner cortex.
Oh, it seems pretty cool. I get what you're saying. Yeah. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. The gameplay is a first person RPG. You progress through the game, fighting through to complete your objective. As you go, the game will update waypoints where to send you. It's really cool. And they're very clear. Like, you know, sometimes like a game will give you a waypoint, and you're like, okay, well, I have to go like up around it. It's fairly straightforward how to get to it. It'll even tell you like the distance of how far away it is.
Okay, so it's linear.
Yeah, the game is fairly linear as of right now. You know, I'm still inside the main complex trying to figure out how to get out. There are also cutscenes and QuickTime events. So button mashers. Looking at you, Will.
That's it. That's it, man.
We'll love that part because you know you give the. Like I said, with the disabling of the robot and other stuff like that. And then to save the game, you get to these little areas called break rooms. And in there you can get like a crate of items. You'll have the save point, and then you'll have the upgrade station. So think of it along the line as when you ran through Left 4 Dead and you got to those safe houses.
Yeah.
Think of along the lines of that, but it doesn't end the level.
Oh, okay.
Where you just go in, save, and then come back out and go, you move on with whatever you're doing. But it's literally very similar to that. Like, you can go in, grab items, upgrade your stuff, and move on.
Yeah, reload, get some health, save, and move.
Yeah. it's pretty cool. I'm having a ton of fun with it so far.
Sounds it.
Like, The combat's sort of challenging, like the robots and stuff that I'm fighting so far. I mean, they hit you pretty hard. If they do hit you with a heavy attack, they will knock you down on the ground.
Do you die a lot?
I've died two or three times, but luckily it was right by the save point. So it was like I just respawned and went right back to what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
The game reminds me, think of Fallout 4, right?
All right.
Pre-bombs.
Okay.
Like that whole 50s style.
Okay.
Where they had like all that technology and everything like that. Now take that universe and like times the technology by 10.
Hmm.
Like, but it literally everything looked like that. It has that all that like 50s vibe and everything like that. Because take the game takes place in the in an alternate reality 1950s in Russia.
Oh, okay, pretty cool.
But like it, that, it's like it that reminds me a lot of that meets BioShock.
Oh, BioShock. Okay.
Yeah.
With the yeah with meet, the advancement in technology.
Yeah, meets the movie iRobot. I don't know if you remember.
I've seen iRobot.
So combine those three things, and that's very close to what this game is.
Sounds very interesting. I'm looking forward to your critique when you finish it, because I know you're going to finish this game.
Absolutely. Not only that, but like the lockpicking. The way you do the lockpicking, you get your glove comes out, and it has these wires that come out of it. And what it is two of them go in, and you can use it to unlock. The lockpicking is very, very, very almost identical to lockpicking in Fallout.
Oh, okay.
You have to move it to one side and then turn it.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. There's also a couple other puzzles that I've come across. There's locks for the doors where you have to the thing goes around, and there's a bunch of pins. And to open the pin, you have to time it with the light that goes around, and you have to hit it and it opens up. And it's after each one you hit, the light gets faster.
Oh, okay. That seems cool.
Yeah.
So you're enjoying this game immensely.
Yeah, I like it. It has a lot of depth to it. For a linear game, it has a lot of depth.
So we're gonna hear about this next week too, folks.
Absolutely.
Yep. So speaking of next week,
I will come back with an update when I beat it.
So speaking of next week, what is your game for the upcoming week? That you're going to choose to play.
My next game of the week is called My Friend Pedro.
Blood, Bullets, and Bananas.
You play as a masked and silent protagonist, waking up in a butcher shop owned by a man named Mitch. You are instructed to kill Mitch by Pedro, a talking banana. Yes, a talking, floating, sentient banana. After killing the butcher and leaving the shop, you make your way to Null, an abandoned community project. Now home to a man named Denny and his army of bounty hunters. Having no memory, you must fight your way through the game to find clues as to who you are, and most importantly, who is Pedro? The game involves the player traversing a variety of themed levels. The player can slow down time, kick objects, as well as split their aim between targets. You can also dodge bullets by spinning. Another feature of the game allows player to ricochet bullets off of frying pans and signs. The game also features some parkour elements, such as flips, wall runs, rolls, stuff like that. Points are awarded for each successful hit, which each kill increases the current point multiplier. Players are given a rank at the end of each level based on their total number, which is then shared on a global leaderboard.
My Friend Pedro is actually a fun game. I have it on the Switch, which there's the talking banana. I've enjoyed it. I'd like to see what your take is so that we could discuss this next week. I've played a little bit of My Friend Pedro, and it's fun. I enjoy it. So we'll see. Hopefully you do too. My game for next week is called Solstice, but S-O-U-L-stice.
Wow.
It's available on the PS5, Xbox, and PC. It is not on Game Pass. My thought is that we've been picking a lot of the Game Pass games, and it's like Xbox heavy, so I thought, let me pick a game that's available on other stuff, just because, I mean, I have it in my backlog, and it'll give me an excuse to play it. It's made by Replay Game Studios and published by Modus Games, Maximum Games. And a little brief explanation is the balance of the Holy Kingdom of Kedis is compromised when powerful feral beings known as Wraiths invade from the other side of the Veil. Wraiths corrupt their victims and even possess their bodies, turning them into unstoppable, vile beings that prey upon the living. The Chimera, hybrid warriors, born of the union of two souls, are the only ones who can protect humankind. Explore a striking fantasy-inspired world brimming with hidden mysteries, master a diverse combat system, and inhabit the dual forces of two sisters in a coming-of-age fantasy story with fast-paced action, vicious enemies, and spectacular boss fights. It's labeled as an RPG beat-em-up. So, kind of like a Devil May Cry or a Bayonetta. So I'm looking into playing this. It's not supposed to be super long. So hopefully I can get through it. That's pretty much it. That's going to be my game. It looks interesting. I mean, I'm playing it on the PS5. So we'll go with that. Yeah, so we'll go with that. It's available on the PS5. It's on Amazon right now. If you're going to buy the disc version for like $30 a pop. You could get the game cheaper online somewhere for Steam, I'm sure. Because Steam seems to always be cheaper if you want it on the PC. But, you know, I'm looking forward to playing this game. I'm in the mood for a good beat-em-up button-mashing type of game, so I'll report back next week and see how good it was. It's an indie game, so...
Oh, yeah. Gotta give indie games their love.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. AA indie game. Can't beat it. Sorry, I gotta stretch this back out. And with that, Game of the Week, that is our episode this week. You know, like and subscribe to the podcast. Comment if you want to get in touch with us. You can always join the Discord of Very Average Gaming. The link's in the description. Visit veryaveragegaming.com. You can listen to just an audio version of this podcast anywhere podcasts are distributed for the most part. Follow him if he's streaming on BudCotton1. You can follow me at either Very Average Gaming or Very Average Will. And until next week, like you, we're average too.